All right, take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 for the message this morning. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you, and you may feel free to use that. But I like to read several verses here to you, and I'm actually going to just speak on one verse today, but I want to make sure you understand the context in which this verse is given. As Paul was closing out this great book to the church at Thessalonica, he gives several verses of admonition to the church, just general principles, general things to live by and to consider. And I want to speak to you on one of the things that he mentions, but I want to read several things so that you see the heart of the apostle as he closes out this book. All right, if you will look, please, at verse 11. It says, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake, and be at peace amongst yourselves." Now, I'm not going to preach from those verses, but I just wanted to read them to you. Okay? I just wanted to read you that. Might want to go back and read that over again. I'm not going to preach from those verses, but I just wanted you to hear them. And you know, according to Paul here, you're supposed to love your pastor and your pastoral staff, and you are to be at peace amongst yourselves. So, you know, no fussing and fighting in the church. That's basically what he's saying. And we ought to love one another. All right, now look at verse 14. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore." And that's hard, isn't it? It's hard to rejoice all the time. "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings." That's preaching. That's preaching. "Despise not preaching. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y. Completely. Altogether. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Now, I want you to go back to verse 19, and I want to speak to you today from that little statement that Paul made here, "Quench not the Spirit." And I'm simply going to call the message this morning, "Quenching the Spirit." Let's pray together and ask God to help us, and then the message this morning. Our Father, thank you so much now for your word. And Lord, I pray your richest blessings upon it today. I pray that you will bless and help me as I speak, but Lord, I also pray that you will bless our folks as they listen. And Lord, we need to hear from heaven this morning, and I pray that you will, Lord, bless in a mighty way, and that, Lord, none of us here will be guilty of quenching the Spirit as the Spirit of God works in our midst today. Lord, we love you and thank you for the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, for how the Spirit works. And Lord, I pray today that the Spirit of God will work in every heart. And that, Lord, we'll leave here today different people than what we were when we came in. Father, I pray that if there's someone that needs Christ as their Savior, someone that needs to be saved today, they do not know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. Lord, may you speak to that heart today. And just do a real moving amongst all of us that, Lord, we'll leave here and be able to say that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. So bless us now, Father, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Two Sundays ago, I spoke to you on the subject of the Holy Spirit in both the morning service and in the evening service. If you were here, you remember that in the morning service, I spoke to you on the subject of resisting the Spirit. And I explained to you that that the Lord Jesus sent the Holy Spirit back. He told the disciples that he had to go to heaven, that he was going to the cross, and then he would ascend back to the Father. But he told them, he said, I will not leave you without a comforter. And when the Spirit of truth is come, Jesus said, he will convince you of sin, of righteousness, and of hope, and of judgment. And so we looked at the fact that that one of the roles and one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to convict us and show us our need of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. I do not have convicting power. I wish I did. I've often said that. I wish that I had convicting power, but I don't. All I can do is take the Bible and proclaim, thus saith the Lord, but it is the Holy Spirit who does the convicting and shows a person his need for the Lord Jesus. You see, the Spirit will show you, he will draw you to the Father, and he'll show you that church can't save you, and baptism can't save you, and being good can't save you, and turning over a new leaf can't save you. I mean, you can turn a whole tree over if you want to. That's not going to save you. The only thing that can save you is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that came and died on the cross and gave his life to pay the penalty we owe for sin. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the gospel is very clear. And it is the Holy Spirit that convicts a person and shows them their need of the Savior. I'm glad that 40 years ago, I went to a church service. The preacher preached the gospel of Christ, and I stood back there, sat on the aisle seat, and I've later found out all those kids that I was sitting with purposely put me on the aisle to make it easy for me to step out and walk down front and get saved. They did it on purpose. I later found that out. And but there I was sitting on the aisle seat, and the preacher preached. He gave the invitation, and I resisted the Holy Spirit. I said, "No, I don't. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to do that. All these people are watching me, and if I go get saved, I've got to do this and I've got to do that." And the devil was just telling me all kinds of stuff to keep me from going, and so I was resisting the Holy Spirit. I was saying no to the Holy Spirit, and you know, it's just like a child. When a child misbehaves and you correct the child and they get obstinate and they get angry and they get defiant. Well, they're resisting your correction. They're resisting you trying to make them do right. Well, it's possible for a person to resist the Holy Spirit's conviction, and they reject the Lord and say no to the Lord. That was Sunday morning. On Sunday night, I spoke to you about grieving the Spirit and how that a believer can grieve the Holy Spirit with our attitudes, with our hearts, with our actions, and that we ought to really work hard not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this morning, I want to speak to you on the subject of quenching the Holy Spirit. You'll notice in the 19th verse, the Apostle Paul, writing to this church, said to that church, quench not the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to quench something? I remember several years ago, A lady came to me after a service, not here, but down in West Virginia, and we had church that morning. I can remember the service. What a sweet service we had. And we had several people saved, and there were others that we had a big day and a friend day, as a matter of fact, and had a huge crowd, as largest crowd we had ever had to that date. And we had a bunch of people saved, and God was really working. And this lady came up to me after the service, and she said, "Pastor, I was so moved this morning in the service." She said, "I wanted to just shout glory to God all over this building." And I looked at her and I said, "Well, why didn't you? I mean, if you wanted to, if the Lord was blessing your heart and you felt like shouting amen or praise the Lord, why didn't you do it?" She said, "You know, that's a good question." And she said, "I wanted to come forward during the invitation and I wanted to pray and just thank God for all he has done for me and just praise the Lord." And I said, "Well, but why didn't you?" And she said, I don't know. I just didn't." Well, folks, that's quenching the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart and bids you to do something for the Lord, to bless his name or to come to the altar or to make a decision, join the church or to surrender to a task that the Lord wants you to do. I mean, and you don't do it for whatever reason, that is quenching the Spirit. The Spirit of God is insulted when we say no to his working in our lives. And then we wonder why the Lord no longer speaks to our heart and we don't feel his presence in our lives. Well, listen, folks, when the Lord speaks to your heart, he speaks to your heart for a reason. He's trying to lead you to do something for God. And it's the Holy Spirit that does that in the Christian life. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I don't think that we ought to be obnoxious in our praising the Lord. I have many times said to you from behind this pulpit that there are some things that you can do alone and you can do them better than doing them in public. And I want you to understand praising God is one of those things. Yeah. I mean, you say, "Well, I don't praise God when I'm by myself." Well, you should. Turn the TV off and spend some time with God. You know, there's just some things that you say, "Well, I like to go to church and do it." Well, I like to be in church and praise God too. But if an hour on Sunday morning and an hour on Sunday night and an hour on Wednesday night at best is all that you've praised the Lord in the course of a week, then you're really robbing yourself of some tremendous blessings. Get your Bible and read your Bible and let God's word fill your heart and you'll find yourself praising the Lord and you can get a whole lot more praising done with just you and God than you can sitting in a room full of people. And by the way, when we come to church, we come to church to worship God. How do we do that? We worship God through prayer. We worship God through learning the Word of God. We come to church. You read the book of Acts. When they went to church, they had preaching in the church. And that's why we have preaching here at the Church of the Open Door. You know, I made up my mind years ago, I'm going to have preaching when we go to church. I've had these guys call me and they'll say, "Hey, we got a new DVD out, and we'd really like for you to show the DVD in your church on Sunday night." And I said, "We don't show DVDs on Sunday night." "You don't?" I said, "No." He said, "What do?" I said, "We have preaching. We take the Bible and preach from the Word of God every Sunday night." And folks, it is by the foolishness of preaching that God saves them that believe. Now, I'm not against people saying amen. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not against people saying praise the Lord. My goodness, I told you about my church down in Nitro, West Virginia. We had a shouting church. It was done decently and in order, but we had a shouting church. There were many a times where we'd be singing a congregational song and all of a sudden the Lord would just start to bless hearts. And man, people are crying and they're shouting and they just quit singing and praise God. Pianists and organists would just be playing the song and folks would be waving handkerchiefs and shouting glory to God and hallelujah and everybody slobbering and crying all over the place. I'm not against that, if that's who you are. But I don't think you should manufacture something like that. But I'm certainly not against that. Please don't think that I'm against that. But I think when we come to the house of God, it ought to be with a Bible in our hand, and that the man of God has been on his face before God during the week getting the message from God so he could stand up and give God's word to God's people. And when that happens, we're not to quench the spirit. We're not to do anything that will quench the spirit. Now, it just may be, hey, you know, bless your little heart. It just may be God's Holy Spirit gets all over you and you're about to pop. And you think, man, if I don't say amen, I'm going to explode right here. Well, listen, don't explode. I don't want to clean the mess up. Go ahead and say amen. You're not going to offend me a bit. But whatever we do, let's don't quench the spirit. Now, there's an interesting thing here. Notice verse 19, quench not the spirit. But then look at the next verse. He said, despise not prophesyings. What is that? That's preaching. And you know, those that quench the spirit and don't do what the Lord wants them to do, they're sitting there saying no to the Holy Spirit. When God's Holy Spirit speaks to you from the Word of God, when all of a sudden now you feel this tug at your heart. You say, that's hunger. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's conviction. That's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, he's talking to you. Hey, listen to what he's saying. Hey, he's got a message for you. And when the Holy Spirit tugs at your heart, when you resist the Holy Spirit, what are you doing next? You're despising prophesying. And boy, you know, there's an awful lot of people. Remember when you first got saved? Man, when you first got saved, you couldn't get enough preaching. When you first got saved, the meaner I preached, the better you liked it. I mean, if I was up here throwing a fit, you enjoyed that. You sit there and go, wow, listen to that, man. He's telling it like it is. But then the Spirit began to work in your heart and you resisted the Holy Spirit. And then the next Sunday when I came back and threw a fit, you got mad at me. Well, who do you think you are telling me what to do? And we despise prophesying. And we need to be careful, folks. I mean, we need to be careful. Those who have a tendency to quench the spirit may try to console themselves and justify themselves for suppressing their blessings, thinking that they are better behaved than those emotional people. But when they do, they're very often in danger of committing some greater offense, that of despising prophesying. I'm saying, folks, that one step leads to another. And the person who quenches the operations of the Holy Spirit in himself will soon be led to despise and criticize the preaching of God's word. Now, how can we quench the Spirit? I want to just give you some practical things this morning. There's no depth to this message today. I'm going to put everything right down on the bottom shelf so everybody can pick it off. But I think it's some things that we need to understand. First of all, we can quench the spirit while we sit here in church. It is possible for a child of God to quench the spirit while he's sitting in church. You know, folks, it's so easy to fall into an attitude where worship is just formal and routine, whether it's at church or home or by yourself. It has a tendency to become so dry and so routine and so mechanical that after a while we just look at ourselves and say, well, what's the use? I guess you heard about the preacher ran into a church member at the store and said, hey, man, I've been missing you in church. And he said, well, preacher, you know, it's just been one thing after another. And he said, we had the family in one week, and then we had a death the next week, and then we had a reunion the next week. And he said, you know, and then the rains came. He said, it's just rain. And the preacher said, well, you know, it's always nice and dry down at the church. And he said, yeah, and there's another reason why I haven't been coming lately. And that's what happens to us if we don't purpose that we're coming to church so that God's Spirit can speak to our heart and draw us and move us from where we are in our spiritual walk to get closer to the Lord. Listen, folks, when we don't come to church with the attitude that I'm going to go and let God do something for me, then we're quenching the Holy Spirit. I mean, when it's just routine, you know, and I think that every time we meet, God wants to speak to our hearts. I think every time we gather here, whether it's a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, or a Wednesday night, there is something that God has for us that we need when we come. Now, how does God speak to our hearts and give us what we need? Well, the Lord Jesus tells us that when the Holy Spirit would come, the Spirit would guide us in the truth. He said the Spirit would convince us of sin and righteousness and judgment. But sometimes we quench the Holy Spirit when we come to church. We come in and we've got the weight of the world on our shoulders. You know, you got up and yes, it was raining outside. You got up and yes, it was cold outside. You got up to come and man, World War III broke out in your car before you got to the church house. And so you walk in here, you got the weight of the world on your shoulders. You walk in here burdened down with the job, burdened down with finances, burdened down with the economy, burdened down with the discord that's in your home, burdened down with all the things that the world can heap upon you, and you just get out of the car, put it all on your back, walk it into church and sit down. Brethren, listen, leave it all out in the car, would you? Leave it out in the car and walk in here with the attitude, okay, Lord, do something in my heart this morning. I don't want anything to quench the Holy Spirit from working in my life. I know there's times where we wake up and we say, oh boy, I have to go to church today. I mean, it's Sunday. It's what we do. So I have to go to church. And we come in with everything on our minds under the sun except worshiping God and fellowshipping with Him. I got to do a little reading this week while I was down in West Virginia. And I was reading about John Wesley. And John Wesley used to fuss about this all the time in his services. John Wesley was one of the greatest preachers the world has ever known. And Wesley used to fuss about what he called a wretched way of worshiping God. A wretched way of worshiping God. He had a way with words. Boy, that pretty well sums it up right there. He would fuss at his congregation for not singing with all their heart during the congregational singing. I mean, he would get up to preach and it was just like there was a cold air that had settled over the crowd. And Wesley used to say, the reason that we have this congregational singing and sing these great old hymns of the faith is to get the fire of God burning in your bones before the preacher says, open your Bible. But then if God's people come in and they just, you know, give it a half-hearted sing, just a attempt, then, you know, there's a coldness there. He would fuss about people not saying amen while he preached. He liked to hear amens. He said that's like saying sick him to a bulldog. You know? I mean, he liked to hear the amens. And I agree that many times we can quench the Spirit and miss the wonderful things that God has for us when we come to church, when we come in with an attitude of, oh, well, I'm here again. No, every day, every Sunday, every service ought to be, Lord, I'm here. What do you have for me today? Amen. God help us not to quench the Spirit with routine worship in our churches. Then we can quench the Spirit. And when we do, the blessings from God cease. The blessings from God cease. Several years ago, when I was pastoring Bell Creek Baptist Church in Dixie, we had a business matter come up. And we discussed it, and the church was in favor that we needed to do this. And there was no doubt, it proved over time to be the right decision. But it involved spending several 160 to be honest, to be exact, $1,000. But it was the right decision. It was the right thing to do. And there was a family in the church, and they didn't like the decision. They thought it was wrong. They didn't want to spend the money. And they got themselves all worked up over this, all frothed up over this, to the place where it affected their service. Now, they still came to church, but you could see that they were not happy. And things were said, and when you live in a small community and you pastor a small church, well, hey, you know, stuff gets out, stuff gets around. And so these folks had a bad, bitter spirit over this matter. And one Monday morning, my phone rang. Pastor, can I come and see you? I said, you certainly can. And so the fellow came over to the church, and we met in the office. He walked in. As soon as he sat down, he started to cry. And I said, ma'am, what's wrong? What happened? He said, preacher, he said, I'm sorry. And I said, for what? And he told me what he was sorry for, the way he'd been reacting to that whole matter. And he said, preacher, I said things I shouldn't have said, and I've been acting like I shouldn't be acting. And, you know, he said, we're just miserable. And he said, will you forgive me? I said, yes, I'll be glad to forgive you. I said, what brought about this change? He said, well, last night you preached. And he told me what I preached. I said, yeah. He said, I want you to know that our teenage son stepped out of his seat and walked down the aisle and made a decision for the Lord. I said, yeah, I saw that. He said, we got in the car last night and we're driving home. And Paul said, wow, wasn't that a great service? Wow, man, what a message. Man, God got a hold of my heart tonight. Man, mom, dad, what God did for me. I'm so excited. What a thrill to be able to come to Bell Creek Baptist Church, he said. And he said, all my wife and I could do was look at each other and realized that we missed it all. We missed the whole thing because we sat back there quenching the Spirit of God with our attitude. And brethren, that happens so often. It is so easy to quench the Spirit and miss what God has for you. Remember when Jesus was baptized, the Bible says that the voice of God was heard and that the Spirit descended upon the Savior in the form of a dove. But then the heavens opened up and the voice of God rang out. And God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Man, there were people that looked around and said, did you hear that? Did you hear what God said? God said out of heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But then the very next part of the verse, the writer tells us that some of the folks didn't hear that at all. Instead of hearing the voice of God, they said, oh, that wasn't God. That was just thunder. It just thundered, that's all. Well, God didn't speak. Oh, yes, God did speak. But there were some folks who couldn't hear it. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Man, wouldn't it be a shame for you to come to church and in preparation for the Sunday, I was praying before God and reading my Bible and preparing a message, and I got the message done and walked in here and delivered that message, but because of how you've allowed your heart to get, you quenched the Holy Spirit and did not get what God had for you that day. My friends, I'm saying that it's a shame when we quench the Spirit and we don't hear from God. There's a second thing I want you to consider. We can quench the Spirit by being critical. There's nothing worse than a critical heart. This is a little more practical, and I think more applicable. But this is you see it so much. This is a way in which a lot of God's people can put out the fires of God. I think the Holy Spirit, and I worked hard to try. I wanted to illustrate this and kind of give you something that you could visualize in your mind as to how this works. And it's not a perfect illustration by any means, but I think you'll see the point. I think the Holy Spirit works a little like the current of electricity. Now, I want you to think about it. Electricity, although it is a powerful and yet unseen force, is very sensitive and can easily be diverted or even deadened. I mean, think about it. A whole city can be suddenly plunged into darkness because of a bird or a bug or a rat. I mean, a whole city, all you have to have is one squirrel get on a line and get into some semblance where the squirrel interrupts the flow of the current and it'll shut the whole system down. And I think that the blessings of God are of God's Spirit are kind of like that current. The Spirit blesses the man of God, and the man of God preaches to the congregation. And as he speaks the message from God, if the congregation is in one accord, this current will strengthen and accomplish God's purposes and bring light. But when this holy current comes up against a critical mind, when this current comes up against an embittered spirit or some person who acts as a resistor, then the current stops right there. There is such a thing as sending out bad vibrations to others. You know that? I've told you about, and man, I don't know why, that, but I saw this so clearly. This was years ago. But I was standing in singing the congregational songs years ago when I was pastoring down in West Virginia. And we're standing there singing the congregational song, and I looked over, and just about where the fourth row here, there was a woman. And I knew her. I remembered her and her husband from years ago when I was a kid and went to a certain church as a kid. And it had been years since I'd seen them. But as a matter of fact, he was an usher in our church. And I recognized them both when they walked in. And they came in and sat down in about the fourth row, and then we all stood up to sing. And when we were singing the song, I looked down at her. Now, mind you, she's a big gal to begin with. I mean, she's a big gal to begin with. But she always wore these high-heeled shoes, made her even taller than what she was. And then she had this black beehive-type, you know, stand-up-in-the-air hairdo that it made her even look more intimidating. And so the years had passed, and not only was she tall, but she was a little thicker, if you know what I mean. And there she is standing there with her high-heeled shoes. Now, her husband was a big man, too, 6'5", 6'6". But she stood right there with him with that hair and everything, and the shoes and everything. And I remember standing there looking around the congregation, and folks are singing their hearts out. And I'm watching them sing. They all got their books out, and they're singing. And I'm scanning the crowd, you know, see who's here and who's not here. And then I looked down and spotted her and him. And when I looked down and saw her, I'm telling you, folks, she looked like she was ready to whoop somebody. She had a look on, she had a scowl on her face. Man, she just looked like, hey, you want a whooping? You come see me. And I remember standing there looking at her going, good grief, man, smile. What's the problem? And so we finished the song, and I led in prayer, and I said, now let's all turn around and shake hands. And somebody grabbed me on the platform. I was going to go down and see them and shake their hand, but somebody grabbed me on the platform and started asking me a question, and by the time we answered it and took care of it, everybody was back in their seats again. And I looked down, and there she was standing there, had her arms folded like this, scowling at everything. Well, we went through the rest of the service, and that Thursday night I went over and visited their home. She was sitting there in that chair, still had that face on. And so I said, well, I'm really glad y'all came to church. She said, well, I'm going to tell you something. She said, that's the most unfriendly church I ever been in my life. Now, on the inside, I wanted to say to her, well, look, if you wouldn't come in there looking like you drank a whole gallon full of dill pickle juice, maybe somebody would have been nice to you. That was on the inside. I didn't dare say that. I didn't want her whooping me. That was on the inside. And on the outside, I said, ma'am, I'm so sorry that you felt like you were, like people neglected you. But folks, listen, if a man would have friends, he's got to be friendly. And you can't stand there with a scowl on your face and your arms folded, daring people to be nice to you and expect them to be nice to you. It's not going to happen. I mean, there's such a thing as sending out bad vibrations. And you know, in 33 years of pastoring churches, I've seen folks come to church and they look like that, you know, they were weaned on dill pickle juice. I've noticed that. I've seen folks be critical, filled with vitriol, shouting, shooting daggers at me while I preach. And such an individual can come to church and not even say a word and yet hinder the working of the Holy Spirit in the service. Folks, listen, read the admonitions here. Comfort yourselves. Love one another. Live at peace with one another. What is wrong with us that we think we have to fuss and feud and fight in the house of God? I've never understood that. Let's be happy in the Lord. You're not going to agree with everything that goes on up here. I don't agree with everything that goes on. I don't even agree with me half the time. But man, we're a family. And I'm sorry, but this is all you got. It's not my fault, it's God's fault. He's the one sent me here. So let's just get along and love one another, work together, pray for one another, encourage one another. And God will bless that. In 15 years that I've been the pastor here, man, I've seen them come and go. So have you. Thank God for you that stick. One night at a deacon's meeting several years ago, I was talking to the men about when a bunch of folks got mad and left because I wouldn't let drinking go on and because I wouldn't let the Bible of the Month Club enter in here. I wouldn't let contemporary music come in. And so a bunch of folks got mad and they all got together and then decided they were going to go somewhere else to church. So they left. I didn't make a big stink about it, but we had about 200 people leave on one Sunday. You didn't notice it because the offerings didn't change. Hello. You didn't notice it because offerings didn't change. You just thought folks were on vacation. And a couple weeks later, it filled back in again. We were in the deacon's meeting, George Real. I'll never forget what he said. He looked at me and he said, Pastor, don't you let that get you down. And I was crying. I said, well, George, I just hate when anybody leaves the church. I said, my goodness, I don't want to see anybody leave. He said, now, preacher, don't you let that get you down. He said, you remember what the Lord said. And I said, well, what did the Lord say? He said, well, now, you remember the Lord said they went out from us because they were not of us. And I said, yeah. Yeah, that's good, George. And I lived off that for a little while. Folks, listen, you're not going to agree with me on everything. I know that. But I'd also tell you, I ain't going to agree with you on everything. It works both ways. But man, this is where you come to church. I'm not your enemy. I love you. I pray for you. I care about you. I care about your kids. Why can't we just realize, hey, my pastor's not perfect. Rick Holbrook's not perfect. John Campbell's not perfect. We're not perfect. We're just not perfect. But we need to realize that this is all we got. And let's all unite together as a church family and say, hey, listen, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to have anything in my heart towards that Rick Holbrook. I'm not going to have anything in my heart towards my pastor. I'm going to come to church and say, okay, God, I'm not quenching the Holy Spirit. And just let God do some great things in our church. I don't want to see anybody leave here, but I'm not about to compromise to get a crowd. I can tell you that right now. I'm not about to compromise to get a crowd. I'm not going to quit preaching that drinking liquor is a sin. I'm not going to quit that. I'm not going to tell you that you can just go use any old version of the Bible you want to. I think the King James Bible is God's eternal, preserved, inspired, perfect word. I'm not going to let up on soul winning or tithing or the bus ministry or you girls wearing clothes when you go out in public. I'm not going to let up on that. We are all, when we are all of the same mind, that's when the Spirit of God does His best work. I remind you, on the day of Pentecost, they were in one accord and of the same mind. And the funny thing is, in the weeks and months prior to some folks leaving, you can just almost feel those vibrations coming at you. Yeah. Well, nobody's perfect. Nobody up here claims to be perfect. We're just sinners saved by grace. We mess up every now and then. We aren't perfect, but imperfect people will do that. So I'm begging you folks that you be a conduit instead of a resistor. You be a conduit through whom the Holy Spirit can use. Don't be a resistor. Don't waste your Christian life on a bad spirit or a bitter spirit or an angry spirit or a negative spirit and cause the Spirit of God to be quenched. One more thing real quickly. We can quench the Spirit by not doing what God wants us to do. Now, folks, I'm just going to shoot straight with you here. I think God's Holy Spirit is always working in our hearts to draw us closer to Him. Now, I want you to think about it. God has designed some things to help us accomplish that. And He's outlined those things in the Bible. Like, for example, once you get saved, you should follow the Lord in believer's baptism and unite with the church. I didn't write it. God wrote it. All right? That's not my opinion. That's God's opinion. That's what the Bible says. Here's the manual. This shows you how to live the Christian life. And God said that when you get saved, you ought to be baptized and join the church. You see, the church is the vehicle Christ established to give us the means to serve. I didn't start the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. He said that when He builds His church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That means the church is on the offense. Hell's on the defense. But in order for the church to be on the offense, the church has to be doing something. We have to be making a dent. I had a guy call me a couple years ago wanting our church to support his organization that fed hungry people in India. And I said, where are you from, sir? He said, New York City. I said, well, where do you go to church up there? He hauled around and he said, well, I belong to the big church. I said, the big church? I'm trying to think, what big church is in New York City? I said, what big church? He said, you know, the big church. I said, no, I don't know. Tell me, what big church? He said, you know, the universal church. I said, oh, good grief. Universal church? Where's that? Let me see if I can find that in here. No, I find local churches in here. I said, well, what do you want? What do you want? He said, we need monthly support to feed people in India. And I said, well, here's an idea. Go to the Universal Church and get your support. Amen. I want to support missionaries that are going to plant churches, not belong to the big church. I mean, they baptize in converts, serving the Lord's Supper, teaching people, helping people, reaching people. That's what I want to support. And you see, church gives you a structured environment to serve the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives to believers gifts, and He intends those believers to use those gifts to reach the lost and encourage one another. As we use our gifts, we are strengthening ourselves, we're strengthening one another, and we're growing and doing what a church is supposed to do. But we quench the Holy Spirit when we're not using our gifts that God has blessed us with. You know, there are teachers who are quenching the spirit because you're not willing to teach. There are musicians who are quenching the spirit because you're not willing to sing or to join the orchestra. There are soul winners who are quenching the spirit because you're not willing to go soul winning. I mean, what kind of church would we have if everybody refused to use their gifts? Can you imagine a Sunday morning, you come in here, you're all gathered, and I'm standing up here, and we have the congregational singing, the choir, the offering, special music, and then I'm sitting here while the special music's going on, and I'm just sitting here, and then the special music's done, and when the special music's over with, they walk off the platform, but I just sit here. Rick looks over and goes, psst, you're up, your turn. Preacher, go preach. I said, nah, I don't feel like it today. Nah, I think I'll just sit here. Man, it would get weird in here real fast, wouldn't it? Huh? It's getting weird right now, isn't it? Some of y'all getting nervous right now. I said, where'd the preacher go? I said, hi, brother. I said, where'd that preacher go? He's sitting in his chair. Well, it's church time. Now, you don't feel like preaching now. You know, there's some little boys and girls that could sure use what you know. There's some hurting people out there that could sure use what you know. There's some people. You going to the altar, sis? You going to the altar? Go to the altar. Go ahead. There's some people that are hurting, you know. They could sure use what you got. And you know what we need to do is realize that Holy Spirit of God, that Spirit is convicting and drawing. Why? Because He wants you to do something. Man, if we would just yield and say, okay, Lord, I surrender. And not quench the Holy Spirit when He speaks. I tell you, my dear brother Larry, he believed this with every fiber of his being. He believed that everybody ought to be in Carroll County ought to be a member of the Church of the Open Door. Yeah, he did. He would come in my office and he'd say, what's wrong with people? Man, we've got the church that's here. We got the ministries and we got the personnel. And he used to say all the time, the best preaching in the world. And I'd say, amen. We got the choir, we got the orchestra, we got all this stuff. Man, everybody ought to be a member of Church of the Open Door. And I used to smile and I'd say, I agree with you, Larry. You know, I can't help but think that maybe God's spoken to some hearts, but then we said, nah. Because if I yield to the Spirit here, I just, I might have to do something. Brethren, let me tell you something. You'll be much more happier doing something for God than resisting the Holy Spirit. Dear church family, I beg you today, I beg you to allow the Spirit of God the liberty to draw you close. Can you not sense the Holy Spirit just begging you to open up your heart today? Can you not feel that? I pray that you'll not resist the Spirit today.